Good morning, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm Roy G. Bruce, not a bad day. Not a bad day yesterday.
That was a big day of football, and it was such a big day, I actually fell asleep in the Denver game for about 15 minutes and had to play.
You didn't miss anything.
No, I didn't, exactly. It was, you know, I was 3-for-4 yesterday. I did have Denver. Apologize to everybody. And you know what? We talked about this. You know, come Friday, I started to look at that. You know, the Patriots hadn't won a game in, you know, 4 years in the playoffs. They're at home. It's 18 degrees, wind chill zero. It's Bradyville, you know, and they're ready. And Denver's coming off of a pretty emotional, physical win. I probably should have just either taken them off the board. But I did hit the over. Yeah. Thank you for the 10 points, Denver. Thank you.
Yeah, I had the over. I had the over, and I had the Broncos in this game. I didn't think the Broncos were going to win necessarily, but I thought that it was going to be closer and or close at all for them to cover. The 13.5 I thought was way too much to give up in a playoff game and in 20-mile-an-hour wins.
Well, how would you like to have them plus 24 and lose? Because in a three-team teaser, that's what they lost with, plus 24. That's embarrassing. Roy and I were arguing just before we got on the air. As a matter of fact, Matthew had to break us up. But here's the deal.
You got pretty schoolyard.
Here's
the
deal. He's a hater. Roy's a hater.
I'm not a hater.
I happen to like Alex Smith. I like guys that improve no matter how old they are.
No matter how many seasons it takes.
Here's what you have to understand about him. And I started – Roy's 25. Are you 25?
I'm 25.
All right. Roy runs his mouth before he hears the rest of somebody's sentence sometime. And so do I. But as I'm getting older, I apologize at least after the end of it. He hadn't figured out how to do that yet. But here's the deal. This is the way my brain works. I started to compare Alex Smith to Jason Campbell. Now,
great quarterback.
Well, yeah, but see, that's you're doing it again.
Go ahead.
You're a complete moron. I'm comparing him to Jason Campbell because both quarterbacks had seven different offensive coordinators 7 years in a row.
Yeah,
Roy.
No, that's true.
I wasn't comparing their talent. Hey, Alex Smith was the first pick in the draft.
He
played for Goofball, who was Tebow's coach at Utah, right?
Yeah.
You know, that guy reminds me of Tim Tebow. I think Tim Tebow probably, you know, that was a big mentor of his, his coach at Florida. Come on. Yeah. You know, I got my mind on pro football. I'm thinking about the Ravens because it's 12 miles from here.
He's a Buckeye now.
Yeah, he's a Buckeye, and he should bring a little – if he doesn't have heart palpitations from the alumni at Ohio State – he'll be okay. What he's got to do Urban Meyer, when he goes to Ohio State, he's got to just be quiet and just not pay attention to the alumni. You know, he needs to just deal with the media as much as he has to. And he needs to take care of those players because think about the leadership they've had in the past several years. It was a trussle. He's a geek. He's a weird guy.
Now we're finding out that they were allowed to go do whatever they wanted.
It didn't matter what they did. If you were a football player at Ohio State, you had to run the place. Probably not much unlike Penn State from time to time. That we're also finding
out about.
You have
to question how much control Joe Pa had over the locker room. Even before this whole scandal. A guy of that age, really get in the – you know what I mean?
How many times does he go in there with all those guys running around, flipping towels at each other, throwing crap at each other? Joe Pa could break a hip if the wind blows 5 miles
an hour. He was a face of the franchise more so than he was – this is the coach you shut up when he walks in the room kind of guy.
Now, I'm going to drop a name here, and I think it's the wrong name, but he did a really good – interview, and I want to say it was with Sally Jenkins, but I don't think it was. I think it's the other lady reporter for the Washington Post. And that's the way my mind works. You know, I'm a very visual guy, you know, and a lot of times I'll go off on a tangent, but there's a reason for it. By the way, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm with Roy Edwards, Roy G., my favorite 25-year-old in the whole world.
Thank you.
He's got his West Virginia hat on this morning.
Yes,
they must have won a game. Oh, that's right. They scored 70 points. They scored 70 points against who? Clemson?
Whoever that
How
is.
How bad is Clemson?
They play in the ACC, so that says a lot about how terrible they
are. They're terrible.
Do you remember the last argument we had about
Roy's
ACC?
Bringing me around. He's bringing me around. He's
ACC.
Did Virginia Tech get beat too?
Yeah.
Who did they win any games? Did North Carolina win?
No. The ACC. Well, actually, I had to check.
Did
on
anybody
UNC.
Win? Did Virginia win? They were leading.
I'm pretty sure UNC.
I think Virginia got beat in Atlanta in the Peach Bowl.
The ACC is terrible. They're 2-13.
No, Chick-fil-A Bowl. Sorry.
2-13 in BCS games. The ACC.
That's awesome.
It's really good. It's really, really
That's
good.
That's awesome.
And Virginia Tech is 1-5.
Yeah, go to
loser.
You are a loser.
Great.
Hey, go to my website, brucehallsports.com. Got a little write up on yesterday's games. Not much. We got two big games coming up here today, and we're going to be talking a lot about the four teams in the game today. A lot of people, we go out of Westchester County, and we're heard in North Jersey. We're heard in. On Manhattan Island, we're heard in Brooklyn, we're heard in Queens, we're heard in southwestern Connecticut, and we were very impressed with how strong the signal was when we were going south, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, man, everybody here knows that follows our show that I'm a big Tom Coughlin fan, and maybe it's because I've had a coach like Tom. He's not much older than me. He's not a father figure. He's more like a huge big brother figure. Tommy Coughlin's got to be 63, 64, so he's like a big brother to me. And I like how he's kind of geeky.
He's a little geeky.
I like that because not only is he geeky, he is a great, I'm going to say great, football coach. There's only a handful of guys that you could take sight unseen and bring into a program in the NFL, bring into an administration, that would do a good job. And Tommy Coughlin is one of those guys. Tom Coughlin is one of those guys.
He does have a chance to bring the to win two Super Bowls as a Giant. The only other coach to do that is the Tuna. So,
and you know what, the Tuna? Did you see what the Tuna did this week? He gave him his blessing. He's like the Pope, the Tuna. Why does Tom Coughlin need his blessing? You know, he doesn't.
That's quite a blessing, though.
And let me just say this. How many Super Bowl rings does Bill Parcells have? One, right? I mean, unless he got some as an assistant.
Yeah, that's the only thing I was questioning.
Don't think he does have any as an assistant. But I'm going to say this. Tom Coughlin has as many Super Bowl rings
No,
as
he's it. Got two Super Bowl rings.
Oh, he does?
Mm.
Okay.
86 and 90.
90 was in Tampa. That was when Wide Right.
That was yep.
Wide Right.
Giants,
oh, you
Giants
know what?
Bills.
That's right. They won it. They won it when their big defensive end hit Joe Montana in the playoff game on the last play of the game.
And Giants Broncos.
And Joe Montana was out for the entire next season. That was very much like the hit that the big Philadelphia linebacker, number 60, and I can't even think of his name, and I don't care because I got a bunch of guys in their 70s and 80s out there going, it's so-and-so. But he hit Frank Gifford and almost killed him. You remember that hit?
I don't remember that hit, no.
Well, you're 25.
I'm 25. Remember?
You don't even remember the last time the Mets won a World Series. Yes, you do.
The
86.
Mets? Yeah. Well,
that was 25 years
that
ago.
Was the year
oh,
I was
you
born.
Remember it. Okay. So
I don't remember that.
So your dad just pasted you up against the TV.
I didn't know the Mets had a...
That was Bill Buckner. That was the Bill Buckner.
The Mets win? What are you talking about?
That was the Bill Buckner
Mets win.
Ground ball went through his legs. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy G., my favorite 25-year-old in the country. Roy, talk to me about sportsmancave.com. Now, you had some stuff going on today. I mean, this week, you were real busy on your show this week.
We were pretty busy, yeah. We wrote a lot of blogs, did a lot of talking. We're gearing up for the NBA season, Bruce, which I know you absolutely love.
I like NCAA basketball. That's me.
which... We are
then
DC,
I can go see live.
we are grounded in the DC area, so we do a lot of DC talk, which right now is very, very depressing. It is very depressing to be a DC sports fan right now. Could you imagine this? Everyone, close your eyes. Imagine you are a Washington Wizards, Washington Redskins.
We've won a game though, Roy. We won a game this week.
We beat the Toronto Raptors.
Hey, we
congratulations.
Listen, the Wizards win one game a month, whether they need it or not.
So you're a Redskins?
Very much like me and my wife.
The people out there exist. This exists. A Redskins, Wizards, Orioles, Maryland Terrapins fan. You exist out there. Hey, I feel sorry
hey, Georgetown
for you.
Play, hey, at least Georgetown wins games in Verizon Center.
Could you imagine?
That's Georgetown's home court. Georgetown has got a good basketball team.
They do.
And they have a good coach, which how we ever got there, I have no idea. George Mason has been to the Final Four in the last six years.
George Mason is looking like a better
hey,
program than
we lost our head coach because we were so good in Fairfax, Virginia. So, you know, who knows? But listen, for all you NFL guys, let's talk about football real briefly. God, we saw two great games. Now, the first game yesterday, I'm going to stick in my mind as being probably one of the top four or five games ever in the playoffs. Because we were dealing with the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees, who set an NFL record this year.
This was your cliche offense versus defense game, and it lived up to the hype, I must say.
You know what? The thing I liked so much about it is San Francisco came out just like we thought they were. They hit him in the mouth. You know what? A lot of people weren't talking about this. I did on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, at Bruce Hall Sports, you'll understand that I'm the retweet king of the world. But not only that, I give you nothing but good information. But what I sent out yesterday early was, hey, you know, Jimmy Graham has a concussion. He went down early and could not walk straight on an incomplete pass. It was called pass interference. That was a bad call. That was a great play made by the cornerback for San Francisco. But Jimmy Graham, all 6 foot eight and 265 pounds of him, whiplash head in on grass. Not AstroTurf, on grass. And I'm telling you, he was hurt bad. And they got him back in there, and he made that unbelievable play in the fourth quarter where, for some reason, both San Francisco defenders went for the ball when they're up, what, 5 points? You know, all they got to do is keep them out of the end zone. They win the game, and he runs the rest of the way for a touchdown. That was terrible defense.
66-yard touchdown with a minute 37 left to go.
They scored too fast.
Yeah, but this looks like Drew Brees does it again. Alex Smith is on the other side of the ball.
That's what it looked like.
New Orleans Saints go marching into the NFC Championship game.
But San Francisco did go out to a 17-0 lead, and we're hitting them in the mouth. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the fumbles, that the early fumble that happened on the two-yard line on the San Francisco 2, he knocked that guy. When he went
Pierre
to the ground,
Thomas went out too, man.
He was out. Pierre Thomas was out almost cold from that hit. And that was the same guy. That was the same guy that had just made the play on Jimmy Graham. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be back in a minute. I'll see you soon.
Welcome back. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking the San Francisco 49ers, New Orleans Saints game, which turned out to be a great game. The game so far of the weekend, maybe of the playoffs, if you're watching and you're not a Tim Tebow fan, because obviously that Steelers-Broncos game in the first week of the playoffs was a great game, went into overtime, had lived up to all the hype of Tim Tebow. But this game had two, not one, but two, what we thought could have been game-winning drives. One by Drew Brees, which proved to be about a minute and 30 seconds too early, because Alex Smith, your boy, apparently.
I've read so much. Look, he's an underdog kind of kid.
He is.
You understand? You know. I'm a Redskin fan all the way back to when I was a little boy, and let me just explain this to you. You know, I like Jason Campbell. You know, he wasn't a great quarterback, but he was my quarterback for the Redskins. Yeah. We treated him like crap. Daniel Snyder went through five head coaches in 7 years, not even counting interim coaches.
Well, he goes through coaches like...
Well, we had Marty Schottenheimer for one whole year, and we had Spurrier for two.
And did we have Spurrier for 2 years?
Yeah, we had
Spurrier lasted 2 years.
Yeah, he lasted 2 years. He was terrible. We've had all kinds of quarterbacks, but my point is, when you go through coordinators, now you got to learn a different language. the big thing I read about him, Alex, this week was how he's made every transition. But what Urban Meyer said about him this week made the most sense of anybody that broke him down I've talked to. Urban Meyer said, this guy, when he gets this offense, finally, when he works out every single little, you know, discrepancy, every little single angle that he has with this offense is going to be unbeatable in this offense. Well, you know, he hadn't thrown for 300 yards all year. And throwing for 300 yards is not a big deal anymore in the NFL. Rex Grossman does it every other week in a losing cause with four picks or three picks or two picks. But, and two fumbles, excuse me.
Yeah, you have to add those fumbles.
But Alex Smith had five picks all year.
Yeah.
And Alex Smith, as you could see yesterday, has some legs too. Now, if you follow me on Twitter, which is at Bruce Hall Sports, you will see that I went out there two, three times well before they finally called a bootleg with Alex Smith keeping the football, and he scored on the daggone thing. Now, we went back and forth on that a lot, and I said, you know, I might have slid on the two-yard line and tried to kill about a minute 30 because they had one timeout left and the two-minute warning. They would have gotten the ball back with a minute 10 left, and knowing Drew Brees, they might have scored and beat him anyway. So the way that the game worked out was fine. If you're a San Francisco fan, you're absolutely in seventh heaven. But
well, this is a place they haven't been in a while.
Did you hear what the weather was like out there? 70, and the wind wasn't blowing.
Just a beautiful day in San Francisco,
there wasn't
California.
There wasn't a cloud.
No big deal.
There wasn't a cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was unbelievable. And, you know, I was hearing from people out there going, Saints are going to win. Saints are going to win. This is like being indoors. Saints are going to win. Now, I will say this. You know,
did the power go out? The power might have gone out a couple times at Candlestick.
Yeah, it did this year. But listen, the one thing that you don't know about Candlestick is it's below sea level. They built that in a little hole right off the water. When it's high tide, the field gets wet no matter what. And you could tell sometime yesterday, I bet if you go to the tidal times yesterday, you'll find that maybe high tide was somewhere during that game because people started slipping. They even had their 4-inch nails in, and they were slipping everywhere, which really is an advantage to San Francisco. And there were a few hits, Roy. You remember in that game where the guy looked like he was trying to put a move on, and he couldn't, and somebody just ran over him. That San Francisco defense will hit you in the mouth. I'm so glad they're in the championship game because now we've got an old-school team.
They are. They are the definition of an old-school football
team. But they weren't yesterday. Because Frank Gore had 13 carries. Matt, hey.
Is that
602. 602 was the time of high tide. That's why it was getting close to high tide. It was getting close to high tide. Was it 602 Eastern?
Western.
So that's, but still, the tide's almost in at 3, 4 o'clock. And it's the game's, wait a minute, it started at 4:30.
Yeah.
Our time, 1:30 their time. So it was getting wetter and wetter
as the game was going on.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Don't think people don't look at this stuff. I was in the stadium watching the Cowboys and the 49ers several years ago when the Cowboys showed up and actually won a game. It was one of their three Super Bowl wins. And I'm going to tell you something. You could look on the field. Now, it had rained that week, but it was perfect. Before the game started, all of a sudden, at the end of the first half, I'm looking at the field. It looks like a horse track on a muddy track, and you could tell guys could not make their cuts. And for some reason, that didn't help San Francisco that day. It helped the Dallas Cowboys. And by the way, I'm Bruce Hall, and this is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. I'm talking to my favorite 25-year-old sports freak in the country. Roy Edwards
now,
with SportsManCave.com.
Yes,
you got to go to SportsManCave.com. He takes his website seriously. And listen, you'll catch a lot of crap with him and me going back. My website is BruceHallSports.com. You can go to that now. You can pull up my blog, my talking a little bit about yesterday's games, my talking a little bit about today's games. You know, there's some stuff happening in the NFL right now, too. Jeff Fisher, who was one of my favorite coaches, by the way.
He's a great coach.
He's the guy I wanted Dan Snyder to wait on.
He put Tennessee on the map.
Well, yes, he did.
The Tennessee Titans, you know, when they moved to Tennessee, you know, they were kind of up in the air, moving from Houston. The Oilers never really got any pub. They were really never really anything. They move over to Tennessee. Still, I mean, come
sell
on now.
Out the
Titans,
state.
All right,
you
got to
have a good coach.
Boom, in comes Jeff Fisher, and they're a playoff team. They look good. I mean, the Tennessee Titans.
They had a 9-7 season this year. It's not like Jeff Fisher left them in bad shape.
It was bad with Tennessee when Fisher and Young.
Well,
that's where things went downhill. And, sometimes it's good to step back from a situation. You can reassess who you are as a coach. You can reassess where the league is. Because when you're head into a situation like the Tennessee Titans, where they were with Vince Young going crazy, basically, and you're in the middle of that mess, sometimes you lose a little bit of who you are as a coach, a little bit of where the league's going, because you're stuck in the middle of it.
You know, Vince Young, I think I told this story earlier this season. You know, we've been on since the end of August, and, it's amazing to even think that the entire season's already gone by. So enjoy your life, because it flashes by you really quickly, and make sure you're nice to everybody, too. I like to throw that out there for all the kids listening. Hey, you know what? It's you know, you don't get much when you kick over a beehive. You know, you're better off just leaving it alone. But I got to tell you something. What does that mean exactly? You know, let me tell you about Vince Young. Vince Young had maybe one of the best. You remember who Major Harris is from West Virginia?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Major Harris was like a small Vince Young.
Major Harris would have brought the only national championship to West Virginia if he hadn't got hurt in the national championship.
He played almost 20 years ago. It was a long time ago when he played, and he's out of football now. He's probably playing semi-pro football because he loves to play. He tore his knee up his senior year, and that was the big difference in what happened to him. But Vince Young, when he went through that senior year or junior year, I think he was a senior, but when Vince Young went through his last year in college before turning pro
with Texas, and he
was unbeatable. He ran about a 4.4 40. He's 6'6", about 235 pounds. And people, if it would hit, Roy, if it had been a touch football game in their bowl game that they won, nobody would have been able to touch him. I mean, the guy was one of the best running backs, and he had a pretty good arm. Now, the problem that they had in Tennessee, and I told this story before, was that the owner down there is an extremely religious guy, and that's okay. But they were going to draft Matt Leinart. This is true. This is a true story. They were going to draft Matt Leinart, and they read that Matt Leinart was going out with that girl that her and her girlfriend were on that show, Paris Hilton. He was dating Paris Hilton. When that guy read that, he said, "We're not drafting him. That's not going to happen." Now, I have this on inside information, so it's true. I'm just being honest. Hey, listen, I understand that thought process, but he's a quarterback. They're all different anyway, and he's from Southern California. He wants to date movie stars. He thinks he's great, right? So anyway, that's the problem there. But they were
he was right, too.
Yeah,
I mean, Leinart turned out to be a head case.
Hey, by the way, Matt Bowen.
Not that Vince Young didn't turn out to be a head case.
By the way, Matt Bowen, National Football Post, he's a great guy to follow. He goes over what happened in yesterday's game with Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis basically, he's got the speed of a wide receiver. He's got the size of a tight end. He's got the hands of a wide receiver. He's from the University of Maryland.
Yep.
If you remember when Mike Singletary was the head coach there, he sent him home one game.
Mm-hmm. You know, can't play with him.
Yeah. I can't play with him. Go home. Go get dressed. Go home. Well, I'm glad. You know, I'm sure Mike taught him a lesson. And I'm a coach. You know, I coach wrestling. I coach baseball. You know, I've coached football. I've coached basketball. It's important that kids get the concept of what's right and wrong. Sometimes you just got to tell them to go home. And I'm going to tell you, this guy came back and he's become one hell of a pro.
I still don't like Vernon Davis. He had a great game yesterday. 7 receptions, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns.
You don't like him
touchdowns.
Personally, or you don't like
Did
him?
Did you see? Look, the guy is a beast. The guy can play football.
Right. Is he tweeting?
He is an ego freak. This dude, after the interview, after he makes the game-winning catch or whatever, comes on, and he's like, oh, you know, I had to step it up for my team, you know, in clutch moments. I got to be there and be the guy. But it's like, dude,
it was kind of nice,
man.
The ball was there for you, too.
Yeah, it's like, dude, give your quarterback a little pub here. Give the line a little pub. Like, talk about somebody other than yourself, Mr. Bighead.
Let me tell you something. You know Jim Harbaugh knows exactly what he's got. And he knows he's going to take care of that. And you know what? Jimmy Harbaugh, hey, he's old school, dude. His old man is Jim Harbaugh.
He's a loudmouth, too, though. Both Harbaughs are loudmouths.
Yeah, but you know, John's not as bad as Jim. John does it quieter. Jim is just a freak.
Yeah, no, he is.
But Jim was one. You know who's like? You know who's a lot like Jimmy Harbaugh? Joe Theismann.
Oh, God.
They run their, you know, he just runs his mouth and runs his mouth and runs his mouth.
I can't, I'm probably one of the only Redskins fans on
now,
the planet.
Now, don't get me wrong.
Who doesn't like Joe Theismann.
Listen, I personally, I don't care for him. Professionally, I loved him.
Oh, yeah, he's a great quarterback.
He was my quarterback. I liked the fact that Joe would return punts without a face mask. He had a single bar face mask. Why have a face mask? Just take the damn thing off. Your nose is ugly anyway. It doesn't matter what you look like. It matters if you win or not.
That now, dude was King Ego. His last name was Theismann. He is King Ego.
Yeah.
His name is Joe Theismann.
He changed it. But you gotta give it's like poetic license. You gotta give quarterbacks quarterback license.
Yeah.
You really kinda do because they're all different. And quarterback license. I mean, you know, hey, as long as you get me W's, you can be a jerk, but you know what? If you say anything to me, I'm gonna punch your lights out. And by the way, I can find you anytime I want. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm talking to Roy G over here. I got Matthew Lynch over here behind us.
We got Matthew Kyle Lynch over here.
Yeah, we got Kyle Kaczorek, Matthew Lynch here. Kyle, how you doing, buddy? How about those 49ers, Kyle?
Yeah, Kyle is a
Kyle's a Niners
he's
fan.
He's our board op.
See,
he's
I'm a big San Francisco Giant fan because Bruce Pochi and I played on the same Little League All-Star team, and we're still buddies. And I got to tell you something, man. You know, we had something else very, very exciting happen in Northern Virginia this week. One of my best friends is Raleigh McKenzie. Raleigh McKenzie still coaches high school football. He was an offensive lineman in the NFL for 17 years. He could have played 20, 21 years. He decided to retire after 17 years. He is now going to be an elementary school principal. That's what he does. He works with young people. His twin brother, and I swear to God, they are identical twins. As a matter of fact, Raleigh should just move out to San Francisco because they could send one of them one place and one of them another, and nobody would
just
know the damn difference who they're talking to. But Raleigh McKenzie, I've taken some of these guys to Super Bowls. Raleigh McKenzie, I'm not going to drop all the names. There's a bunch of them. Some of them are general managers in the NFL now, too, by the way. But I got to tell you, this past week, Reggie McKenzie, Raleigh's twin brother, got the job, the general manager's job in Oakland. Now,
Where
quarterbacks go to die. Well, hopefully Carson Palmer won't be one of those because they only spent two first-round draft choices on him.
Terrible.
And I think a third and a fourth. I mean, and this is
when
why,
the East Coast doesn't want their quarterback anymore. They send him to Oakland.
Well, you know what? Do you know what I know happened? Here was the deal. When Al Davis died, you remember how Hugh Jackson turned the tears on and did all that. Hugh Jackson thinks he's in Hollywood. He does. And is he a good coach? He's okay. He was with the Redskins for a while as a quarterback coach, as an offensive assistant. He knows football, no question. He's a little dramatic for me. He's a little me for me. You understand? Oakland Raiders aren't about me. They're about the Raiders. And Reggie
Just
McKenzie.
Win, baby.
Yeah, Reggie McKenzie was a linebacker with the Oakland Raiders for probably 4, 5, 6 years. He ended up being director of pro personnel for the Green Bay Packers for 12 years. He even got promoted from that position 2 years ago. And he has, you know, because of the Roselle rule, he has interviewed.
Rooney rule.
He has interviewed for several NFL GM jobs. And he finally got one. And I'm so happy because he's one of the smartest guys I've ever talked to. He will sit and talk football with you all day long.
I just hope for his sake that he can turn around that mess that they have in Oakland.
It's not that big of a mess yet. The problem that the Raiders are going to have is they don't have any draft choices.
They don't have anything.
They don't have no. On offense, they've got some things going on.
Well,
on,
they got Run-DMC.
But they have no defense.
They got Run-DMC, who's banged up.
Hey, they have no defense. First thing they did was fire their defensive coordinator. Okay.
Well, they blew it. They had the AFC West on a silver platter this year and handed it over to Tim Tebow in the
when you give away two first round draft choices in order to do that by getting Carson Palmer, who everybody knew the price tag was going to be too high for, okay? You better win, baby. Or you're gone, baby. Yeah. And he was gone. Evidently, what happened was Reggie went in, had a meeting with him, said, look, you know, at least this is what I understand. He said, look, here's how we keep you. And he said, well, I don't want that. And he goes, well, see ya. And that's it. Hugh Jackson's gone. They're going to be bringing in somebody from Green Bay, probably. They've got two or three guys. Unfortunately for Green Bay, and this is a very sad thing we're going to talk about, Michael Philbin, who is the son of offensive coordinator Joe Philbin, passed away this past week. 21-year-old kid. Look, you're not supposed to bury your children, and I'm going to knock on wood where I can find some because I've got nothing but children. I have three kids that if anything happened to them, I don't know what I'd do. It's just too painful to even think about. But this kid died, you know, fell through the ice or whatever happened, and he drowned in a lake, I think, or a river, Oshkosh River. He was up there with some friends. And this is, you know, it's been a distraction, but it's really been a very sad distraction. And evidently, Joe Philbin will be in the – he will be up somewhere.
He'll be at the game. Yeah.
But he's not going to be anywhere where he can be, you know, talked to. He's probably not going to be that involved with the offense. He'll probably be in the box somewhere. And I just want to let Joe and the Packer family know that Bruce Hall's second opinion, the entire staff of us, is with you. We absolutely are with you, and your prayers are with us. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion here on AM 1230 WFAS. We're going to jump into a topic here very near and dear to some New Yorkers' hearts. That is the, I don't want to call it a firing, the encouragement of leaving to Brian Schottenheimer, offensive coordinator. And then it seemed like minutes later, it seemed like the flash came out, Brian Schottenheimer leaves. And then like the underlining of that was Tony Sperano hired as OC. It's like, so was he fired or?
Hey, let me tell you. First of all, there were a lot of.
It's like catching your girlfriend cheating with somebody, you know?
No, but listen, when you take a head coaching job, you better have a pretty good. Listen, when you put. Here's the problem with new head coaches. And I've said this for years. The problem with new head coaches is all the best assistants, all 32 of them, there's 32 NFL teams, the 32 best OCs, the 32 best DCs, the 32 best special teams coaches, the 32 best tight ends coaches, the 32 best running back coaches, defensive back coaches, they all have what we call jobs in America. You got to hire somebody that's either a college coach or he's been fired, okay? So what Fisher's done, and this might have a lot to do why he took so long to decide where he was going. Like, maybe if he took the Miami job, he knew he wasn't going to win with New England there, the Jets being competitive most every year, you know, for the most part. I'm just kidding. That's what they did to Brian Schottenheimer. They called, Brian, would you come in here for a second? Open the door. Well, hit him at the same time.
What I was getting with the cheating or the girlfriend cheating, it's like, do you really think that Tony Sperano wasn't interviewed and brought into Jets camp before the leaving of Schottenheimer? I mean, I feel like Schottenheimer like walked into the office.
They talked to their agents. They're not allowed to, but they talked to their agents.
Saul Sperano and their agent, like, oh, well, hey, You can leave, or we can break up with you.
Well, their agents,
however you
want
to do this.
Their agents are all liars, so they lie. You know, they don't lie, though. They won't talk to somebody, but their agent will call somebody 20 times trying to set up a meeting. Here's some good news for you. And we kind of figured this, and Roy and I had this conversation earlier today. You know, I don't like Greg Williams personally, but he pretty much can get a job almost anywhere in the NFL as a defensive coordinator, because evidently he does a pretty good job with whatever he's got. He was here in Washington for a while. If he hadn't have said some bad things about Joe Gibbs, he might still be head coach here. Who knows?
Be a head coach here.
But he'd be one of the other, nine? Snyder's been here 13 years. We've had eight head coaches.
He would have been on the list of guys that were here for a year and fired.
But I got to tell you, after they basically allowed San Francisco to go the length of the field, you know, in 3 minutes yesterday, you know, it would have been interesting. Greg would have been on vacation. He probably wouldn't have been available at a press conference anytime soon. And it's probably a good thing he's going. It's also a good thing he's going to an indoor stadium. Because he's been in an indoor stadium with the Saints for years now, for a few years.
Yeah.
Now he knows how to recruit for that stadium.
It's not a done deal, but it's looking like Greg Williams has coached his last game as a Saints D coordinator.
Well, Mike Nolan's going to interview with him in St. Louis. Steve Spagnuolo hasn't been hired yet. Now, I find it hard to believe that Juan Castillo of the Philadelphia Eagles isn't going to go back to being an O-line coach for them, and they'll bring Spagnuolo back. Spagnuolo was with the Giants and with the Eagles. So, I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy that's done a good job wherever he's gone, not as a head coach, though.
Speaking of not as a head coach, Raheem Morris of the Bucks
just got hired by God knows.
By the Washington Redskins as a defensive backs coach. Talk about a going back down in the rankings, a demotion, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you're the head coach in Tampa Bay. This new young, you know, you're the future.
Oh yeah, he was young. Wow. He was younger than players.
Sorry about that. We made a mistake. Do you want to be our DBs coach? Do you want to be our defensive backs coach? Just kind of sit in the background, these four guys.
You know what? I think that he thinks that maybe in Washington, he could be a future interim coach.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, now let me ask you this.
Maybe Shanahan. Then Raheem Morris can step in.
It's not going to be Kyle. Because when Mike goes, Kyle goes, right? Correct?
Well,
hey, and what's with all this talk?
I hope so.
Did you read the Daily News or the Post this week at all talking about Peyton Manning going to be a Jets quarterback? You know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. It would work. Do you think the boys would own New York? The boys would own it. They'd have to get rid of Sanchez.
Yeah.
They'd have to find somebody.
How do you get rid of Sanchez?
Well, let me add 6-round draft choice, buddy. hey, you could get a 5th or 6th round draft choice for Sanchez.
Look, I'm not ready to give up on Sanchez yet. I know that you don't like Mark Sanchez and you think he's the definition
I've seen hundreds of Mark Sanchez's. He's not the guy.
Well, where do you go? That's the question. If you're the New York Jets, where do you go? Is it Peyton Manning? Your go-to?
It might be Kyle Orton. He's better than Mark Sanchez.
Kyle Orton?
Anybody.
I mean, this free agent class of quarterbacks is crap. It is dog poop.
That's nice.
When Kyle Orton is your
You're
big,
giving dogs a bad name.
When Kyle Orton is your big name free agent quarterback, there's nothing out there. Now you can spend.
You know what? After the first six picks in the first round, there's not much out there.
Right. And I mean,
there's second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round draft choices. And hey, they're Mark Sanchez's.
Yeah. Well, the Jets traded up to get this guy.
Hey, who is Mark Sanchez's agent? We need to find that out because I want him as my agent. I mean, you know, wasn't he the first pick in the draft?
No.
Second?
No, he was like four. I want to say fourth.
Oh, God. It was too high. You know, those USC quarterbacks.
Well, they were talking about, he was the fifth pick. They were talking about the Redskins trading up to get him, and I was all against that then. But that's because I didn't want a quarterback in the first.
No, I remember when the Redskins. I thought they were going to take him.
Yeah, well, if the Jets hadn't.
Well, they jumped on him early. I mean,
the Jets screwed that up for the Redskins.
We talked about the GM job. Maybe the GM job in New York with the Jets might be.
They've been talking about that. around the New York area.
You know, I mean,
Jets fans have been up in arms about their GM. Now, I'm not ready to completely blame the GM yet. So, the GM has been there for years. He's made a lot of good moves. He's made a lot of splashes, made a lot of questionable moves. Now, he went out and he got Plexico Burress. He went out and he got Santonio Holmes, who basically won the Super Bowl for the Pittsburgh Steelers that year, which who can argue with those guys picking them up? LT, I know he didn't have the season he had last year this year, but you didn't sign LT to this gigantic contract. You got him at a good price, and you got a year and a half out
and
of him.
And LT's done. He's done.
And you really were just looking for a third down mentor back to Sean Green anyways. I think you got your money there. Now,
They had some injury problems this year. And listen, with the Jets, you got what – look, when you handicap like I do, you know, you break everything down. The Jets were okay, Roy. They were just okay. And guess what? Okay teams finish 8-8.
Yeah. I mean,
do you know how many teams finished 8-8? A quarter of the teams in the NFL, eight of them, were 8-8 this year. I would say another four or five were either 7-9 or 9-7. Everybody else was either pretty damn bad or – they were playoff contenders. That's the way the NFL works. It's a huge soap opera. And we're going to be talking about soap operas later because I think the NFL, especially with men and women who love sports, is just a big soap opera. You know, there's a new show every week in 32 different cities, correct? And I'm going to tell you, it's the best show in town. There's no question about it. I love Major League Baseball. Now, the great thing about Major League Baseball is there's 162 games. And forget about the month of spring training in March when I go to Arizona and have a blast and play golf and get warm and stay not sick. You know, that is a lot of fun, too. But I got to tell you something. The NFL does have the best game ever. You know, they have the best security. They got the best PR. They got the best TV deals. They got the best everything. Let's talk real quick about Brian Schottenheimer, though. He's meeting with Jeff Fisher today about being offensive coordinator of the Rams. I guess that's so much for the greatest on turf.
Well, he likes to throw the football. And when you have Sam Bradford, who is a gunslinger, you got Brandon Lloyd, you got Danny Amendola, you got a few weapons in St. Louis. The guy likes to throw the football. You're in a dome. You can throw the ball all you want in St. Louis, and they'll love you. You cannot do that in New York and expect to keep your job.
And, you know, that was the big difference in the Jets this year, Roy. I mean, you know, they didn't have the ground and pound this year. I mean, you know, now don't get me wrong. You know, they had a great running back, but he's a one-dimensional guy, north and south. Where are you? I'm going to run over your butt.
Sean Green is a good running back, but he's still coming into his own. He's not the guy who can carry the rock.
He's got bricks for hands, too. I mean, he's not a receiver. They're going to have that other guy. And, you know, it may be somebody on the roster. But, you know, they got a lot of work to do in New York. And you know what? The fallout after the season, I know it's New York, and I know it's Rex Ryan. But where is Rex now? Have you heard him? I keep seeing that commercial where something goes through a wall in the
Pepsi
locker room.
Machine, yeah.
You know, I keep looking at that and go, boy, I wonder if they thought this was how it was going to work out for Pepsi. You know, I wonder if Pepsi thought that. Because every time I see that commercial, I go, do I really have to look at this commercial? I changed the channel.
I mean, the Jets, if you take a look at Mark Sanchez, and I know he caught a lot of crap, but he's playing in the same city as Eli Manning. That's why he's getting the crap. He's been getting better every year, rating-wise, yards-wise. I mean, he didn't have as many yards this year as he had last year. He missed it by about 400, but he also started three less games.
Right.
His passer rating went up. He had 21 touchdowns and 11 picks. Those aren't bad numbers.
No, they're not. No, they're not. But I got to tell you, every other game, he doesn't have a game like that.
Well, he turned the ball over in clutch times. That was his problem. But is that really his fault that they're slinging the ball down by a score against the Giants? They threw, what, 50-some times?
No, it's not. And that defense wasn't very good
either. You're going to turn the ball over if you don't establish a run game.
You know, maybe Rex needs to hire a defensive coordinator. I mean, I know it's not going to happen, but maybe he does. I mean, a real one. Not one that basically sits there and is a linebacker's
coach.
Well,
Rex was already happy about getting Sperano, and so he could kind of back off away from the offense and not worry about that. But I mean, come on now, you're the head coach. You should have a little bit of say
right.
over what goes on in play calling. Rex Ryan should see 50 some odd passes thrown
Correct.
In a game down by a score. Hey, how about we run the ball? How about we take a little bit of time off the clock and try to punch this thing in and have a fighting shot at winning this ball game instead of slinging it around the field and turning it over?
Do you think that the early success that Ryan had is going to hurt the Jets? Because I think it might. Because when you go to two championship games in a row, Roy,
mm-hmm.
you know, that buys you some time as a head coach. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
And I got to tell you something. Maybe he's not. That was a hell of a team that they had that one year, 2 years ago. Last year was a pretty decent team, too. They kind of – remember, they beat the Pats.
They did beat the Patriots.
I think the Pats underestimated them, to be honest with you. The Pats crushed them during the season, and then they took them for granted. Not that Belichick would let that happen, but I bet if you talked to Bill, he'd tell you, oh, yeah, we weren't ready for that game.
Well, the Jets step it up in the postseason.
Right.
Now, what the Jets need to start doing is stepping it up in the regular season.
Right.
And kind of get out of their big head. I think not making the playoffs this season could in turn be one of the best things that happened to the Jets going forward, because maybe Rex Ryan will stop running his mouth as much and start focusing on his football team.
Hey, by the way, I just read something by Peter King. The Falcons just hired an offensive coordinator, Dirk Koetter. Koetter. He was the Jaguars offensive coordinator, and the Falcons have him now. Now, that's not going up.
No.
But I got to tell you, I've heard this guy's name before. He's a quarterback coach. He does a good job. He is a pretty good play caller.
The Jaguars average 12 points a game.
I understand that, but it's not necessarily anybody's fault. But what I want to point out here, Falcons are going backwards.
Oh, yeah.
They're going backwards. And, I mean, you know, there was a lot of problems in Atlanta with the play calling. The fourth. And I don't have a problem with a coach going for it. But give it to your best running back. Don't let, you know, I mean, Matty Ice is not the guy you want the football in your hand trying to get it a yard, is he?
Not with an empty backfield.
Wouldn't you want Michael Turner back there and just give him the damn
ball?
That's
why you have Michael Turner.
That's why he makes all that money.
I don't understand why. I mean, the first time you went quarterback sneak didn't work. Okay, hey, let's spread it out and go empty backfield and do it again. I don't
man. You are one pathetic loser.
That what part of an offensive coordinator's mind says this is going to work?
Yeah, you know, and here's the problem. You know, Malarkey, you know, I mean, there's so many people that have left Atlanta. You know, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they come back. Arthur Blank, first of all, had to deal with Mike Vick's situation. You know, I mean, we're jumping around here, but when we talk about certain things and go to something else, I mean, it's all directly related. By the way, I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm talking to Roy G over here. We're still trying to think about whether we're going to go see the Ravens play. When we get off the air, we got a 15-minute drive, park the car for $40, you know, and then find a ticket for less than $250, and I might go in. The Ravens host the Houston Texans at 1 o'clock today in Baltimore. That's going to be a hell of a game.
It's going to be a great game.
And the other game is going to be the Giant game. And we're going to be talking about that after the turn of the hour. Let me ask you a question, Roy.
And I will answer it.
If the Jets did make a deal somehow uh-huh. for Peyton Manning,
yeah.
don't you think that would be a plus for New York, period?
Absolutely. But I still don't think you get rid of Mark Sanchez.
No, but because you could pay him the money that you'd have to pay an offensive coordinator, because Peyton Manning is the best offensive coordinator in the AFC.
That's true, and Mark Sanchez is still a developing process, and he's still work in a little bit of study under Peyton Manning, whereas right now he's studying Mark Brunell. I mean, come on now. So on the other side of the hour, we are going to talk about those Giants and Packers game. We are going to talk about the Ravens and Houston game. Both two big games. Hopefully they live up to a little bit more hype than the Tebow-Brady matchup
that we had to watch last night.
That
was a horrible... it was horrible for a number of reasons.
I was
one of which is I was on Denver, but it was my only loss yesterday. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be out of here and back in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, AM 1230 WFAS. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys, on this early morning for you.
Hello. Hey, happy Sunday. Happy NFL Sunday. Week two is always a great week. Listen, after today, we'll be down to the championship games. And a lot of people, for many, many years, and I agree with them, think that Championship Sunday, which is next weekend, is a lot better than Super Bowl week. Well, guess what? You're right. Because there's two games in two different locations. Not as many parties, but I got to tell you, probably the best games. Because in the semifinal of any tournament, and I know this is a wrestling coach, that is the one you have to win. Because if you don't, you're not in the finals. And if you're not in the finals, who are you? You are a golfer on the links, on vacation somewhere.
I mean, Super Bowl weekend is huge. There's parties everywhere. It's the biggest game of the year. But for about, 20 years, I haven't cared who was playing.
I know, but
there hasn't been a Super Bowl where, like, I even, like, halfway liked the team. I was like, I could be a fan of team for today. It never happens that
Roy,
way.
Roy, what do you think the chances of having a Harbaugh Super Bowl are? And we may have already seen this game once this year.
I
hope it's different the second time around.
You know, I thought the chances were pretty slim yesterday. But after seeing the show that San Francisco put on.
Right.
I mean, if you were going to tell me that Alex Smith was going to throw for 300 yards, three touchdowns and no picks, and was going to lead the a game-winning drive with a minute and 30 seconds left, I would have called you crazy and kicked you.
Right.
In the shin.
Well, you know what?
Where it hurt the most.
The good news, let me tell you, the good news about all of this, as far as I'm concerned, is that if you're San Francisco, if you're a 49er fan, if you're a 49er player, you've already played the game. You know, you're looking at film today because you're watching a game that everybody's going to TiVo, everybody's going to record, everybody's going to, I mean, you know, you're going to be able to break it down today and get ready a day earlier than these other guys. These guys are not looking at film today. Now, there's a handful of coaches that are, but very few. Probably scouts.
I love the 49ers now because I
you're welcome.
Really
you're
like
welcome.
The Saints. I love the Saints. I thought they were one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league, until the 49ers smacked them yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Greg Williams, you know, is going to be probably in St. Louis next year, but his defense did some good things. I think that the San Francisco offense is a lot better than people think. Look, there are certain teams that, and certain offenses and certain coaches that just are not going to take a lot of chances. Wouldn't you say Jim Harbaugh is one of those guys? I would.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to get a little cute.
And that's what they did this season. They didn't want, you know, they had such a good defense. Now, I said this on Twitter yesterday. I said, this San Francisco team reminds me of the Raven team that won a Super Bowl in Tampa because they didn't allow their quarterback, you know, who's Trent Dilfer, who's a load, and, you know, he's a pretty smart guy. I just get tired of hearing him tell everybody how smart he is. And maybe he doesn't do that, but he comes off that way. Mm-hmm. Trent Dilfer was MVP of the Super Bowl. It wasn't Ray Lewis.
No, he wasn't.
Ray Lewis was?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm 100%
positive.
All right,
check that out.
Trent Dilfer was
Matthew.
Not MVP.
I thought he was because you know what? He threw two.
You would think that he was
He threw an 82-yard pass to Brandon Stokely. I was on the sideline of that game. And he threw another long touchdown pass to somebody.
No.
And who was the running back? You know who the running back was?
Jamal Lewis.
Yeah, and you know what what's happening with Jamal Lewis right now?
No.
He's having problems with his brain, and I mean that in a serious way. He's evidently got post-concussion syndrome so bad that he's ill. And you know what? I mean, and they're studying him right now. Mm. I mean, because, you know, it wasn't just here he played. He went to Cleveland, right? He got beat up in Cleveland pretty good.
He finished his career in Cleveland. Yeah.
I mean, he was a banger, no question about it. I'm Bruce Hall. That's Roy G over yonder. The smartest 25-year-old pain in the butt I've ever known in my life.
Trent Dilfer was 12 for 25, 153 yards on a touchdown that game.
Little loser.
So those are.
So
not...
you're saying that Trent Dilfer sucked?
Yes.
Yeah, but they won by how many points in that game?
It was like 34-7.
Yeah. So Trent Dilfer did what he had to do to win, right?
Yeah, he turned around and handed the ball off.
Yeah. And I think
33 rushing attempts.
Now that
for
was considered by many to be the best defense in the history. It was Ray Lewis. We've confirmed it.
Yeah.
Now how many years ago was that?
That had to be 2000, like, I believe.
So that was 12 years ago. So you were 13. Yeah, you would remember that.
I remember this game.
You were playing. You were
January 28, 2001.
Roy was in a single wing offense at Falls Church High School then.
I was in a single wing offense, but I was in middle school. No, I was a freshman.
Hey, let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question about this.
It was a long time ago. I don't
remember. The Ravens today, Roy, what do they have to do to win?
The Ravens, the big key to me for the Ravens today is Anquan Boldin. Now, they've been talking all week about how he's healthy, how he's felt better than he's ever felt. A lot, because he tore his hamstring. Now, I'm not buying what they're selling.
I thought it was a knee surgery.
You know what? I think it was a knee.
It was knee surgery, yeah, but he had a bad hammy all year, and that's probably how he hurt his knee.
You're right.
Hey,
it was
Anquan Boldin.
I'm getting Anquan Boldin and
didn't he light
the other
him up?
Side of the ball.
Didn't he light him up last game?
Yeah,
the Texans?
Like, yeah.
What do you have, like 10 catches?
Eight receptions, 132 yards. No touchdowns. That's the big story for the Texans in this game is their defense. Now, they held the Baltimore Ravens offense to two like weak touchdowns, if you ask me.
Right.
A Ricky Williams four-yard touchdown.
Wasn't one of them Torrey Smith?
No.
Deep?
It was Ricky Williams with a tiny little rush, and then Joe Flacco with a quarterback sneak. That's how they scored, and it was set up by their defense and special teams.
Let me ask you this. You think Boldin will command double coverage today?
Absolutely.
On first down?
Absolutely.
And probably on third down, which means what? Ed Dixon, the tight end, will be open.
Torrey Smith, I think, will have a big game. If he can run his routes.
Right.
Now, Torrey Smith is a deep threat. Lee Evans is a deep threat, and Anquan Boldin is their possession receiver. That's how they work. That's how they stretch the field is Torrey Smith. Now, I'm not sold on Torrey Smith's route running ability.
Correct.
I don't think
he just runs by people.
He's fast.
He's a good size kid too. He's not small. He's a big kid.
The first time these teams met, the Houston Texans were a little banged up. They had Matt Shaw, but they didn't have Andre Johnson, who is the guy who had the hamstring.
He's the double
Anquan
coverage
Boldin.
Guy.
And so now you have Johnson and no Schaub.
Right.
And you have a guy named T.J. Yates, who is a rookie third-string quarterback.
Who they're averaging like 14 points less a game than Schaub.
They're no doubt a different team, but the last time these teams met, Arian Foster had 49 yards rushing. Do you see Arian Foster only having 49 yards rushing on 15 carries today?
Against a healthy Baltimore Raven defense, I bet that's what the Ravens defense is thinking.
The Ravens
he's only
going to
get 50 yards.
The Ravens are definitely going to key on Arian Foster, but 15 carries is all he got.
No, he needs 20 to 25.
He needs 20 touches.
Now, he looked 100% last week. For the first time in a long time.
He looked good.
Now, Ray Rice, on the other side of the ball, he's got to touch the ball 25 times because the Ravens are 27-2 when he touches the ball 25 times.
Ray Rice, the last time his team's played, 23 carries, 101 yards. Like I said, no touchdowns.
Didn't he catch some passes, too?
Yeah, he caught a couple. 5 for 60 yards.
That's 200 yards.
I mean, Ray Rice is the Baltimore Ravens offense. He is the make-or-break of this team. Now, Anquan Boldin plays a role in controlling the field because you can't run the ball effectively there's no passing game.
Right, and he's also their really good possession receiver.
He is.
He's the guy that's, I mean, he will take the ball away from a defender.
If you watched this game last time this team played, it was Joe Flacco literally one drive throwing it to Anquan Boldin 4 or 5 times in a row.
Right.
Just throwing the ball up and letting him make plays. Now, the Houston Texans were banged up on defense then. They were banged up on offense. They were banged up, period. But the Texans did hold the Ravens to 5 field goals. So the defense was there.
They also have a good intermediate passing game, the Texans. This is going to be a lot better game, I think, than some people think. I think the difference in this game, look, Baltimore is 8-0 at home.
Yeah.
You and I have seen what they can do at home in person. It's a very electric place to play. Everything is purple. It's crazy. It's Ballmer, okay? You know, the Ballmer fans are going to be everywhere. Houston is coming east after playing last week. Now, Houston's banged up. Their injury list looks a lot different than the Ravens' injury list. The Ravens right now might be as healthy as they've been all year. But the line has come down. It's gone from 9 to 7.5 in favor of the Houston Texans. So is the betting public right? I say no, of course not. They're never right. I think that the Ravens, in my opinion, this is theirs to lose. If they lose this game, it's going to be because Flacco turns the ball over and because their defense makes mistakes. A, I don't see their offense letting Flacco turn the ball over. Do you? And B,
if you're smart, but we all know Cam Cameron isn't.
Well, I got a feeling John's going to be a little closer to this game than a lot of games he's been.
You don't let Joe Flacco screw this up for you. Now, you're going to have to let Joe Flacco do his thing and throw the ball around, but you got to get Ray his touches. When the Ravens give the ball to Ray Rice and they let him do his thing,
right,
they're a great football team. Not a good football team.
Be a great football team. You know, right now, in my opinion, these guys have as good a defense next to San Francisco as anybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
The question for them is always, can we move the football, control the clock, not turn the ball over, and let our defense play the way they have to play? Houston, I don't see them being as consistent. Do you? I saw what playing a game did to Denver last night. Big difference between getting an extra week off and playing at home like the Ravens are doing today and traveling after you've played the week before and got banged up a little bit. Denver was never in that game last night. Now, Denver is definitely not Houston. Houston is a better football team than Denver, but not much better, in my opinion. If Arian Foster doesn't get off today, this game's going to be over early. But you know what I see happening here? Remember when Jim and John played earlier this year?
Yeah.
It could be that kind of a game, 16-6. It could be the Ravens controlling the football and T.J. Yates fumbling around with the Raven defense. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm talking to Roy G. here. You know, we both like the Ravens, right, Roy? Are you going to give the 7.5?
Yeah.
I think I am, too.
I love the Ravens in this game. I think the Houston Texans got their emotional win, much like the Denver Broncos got their emotional win against the Steelers. You know, it was their first playoff win, first playoff appearance as a franchise, first playoff win. They're on a high. They come in.
Like Denver.
Exactly.
They got further than anybody thought they might.
But now you're coming to Baltimore where I have to apologize to the Baltimore Ravens fans. I told them that they had never hosted a playoff game. They had. But they've never won a home playoff game. The last time they had a bye and they were in this exact situation, they hosted the Indianapolis Colts.
I was at the game
in 2006.
I was at the game.
And Peyton Manning.
And they got beat.
Yeah. Peyton Manning and went on to win the Super Bowl that year.
And they had a good football team that year, the Ravens.
They did.
But it was Peyton Manning.
I don't see. You're exactly right. That was Peyton Manning. This is T.J. Yates.
No!
Not the same. So do I think that the Ravens are going to win? Absolutely. Do I think they're going to cover? I don't think Houston really stands a chance with T.J. Yates against my defensive player of the year and Terrell Suggs coming off the edge.
If Houston scores 14 points, in my opinion, that won't be a surprise. If they score more than 14 points, I'll be surprised. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. And we're talking about how the Baltimore Ravens and quarterback Joe Eor Flacco are going to beat the Houston Texans. And I call him Eeyore because
tell
of the quote.
Tell the story. It's funny.
This quote is ridiculous. Now, Joe Flacco does get a lot of heat in the media.
He's a simple, nice
around
kid.
Baltimore.
He's just a really nice kid.
He's a terrible quarterback and a extremely sociably awkward person and a little goofy. Now,
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Everything is wrong with Joe Flacco. And now I know he's
But we're taking him.
Now, yeah, I am.
Great.
Now, I know that Baltimore loves to be up in arms because they actually have someone who resembles a quarterback, whereas they're used to an old Steve McNair or a Trent Dilfer or Kyle Bowler. So now they're celebrating the fact that they have somebody who can handle a snap and throw a 10-yard out.
So who do you want, Flacco or Dilfer?
Flacco. Give me Flacco.
Yeah.
Because Trent Dilfer's terrible.
Dilfer can at least play golf. He's like a scratch golfer.
I'd rather hang out with Trent Dilfer than Joe Flacco.
Dilfer's got a little more meat than Flacco.
I mean,
he weighs like 300 pounds
I
now.
Gave you Dilfer's numbers in the Super Bowl when they whooped up on the Giants.
Well, you know what? Well, we shouldn't talk about numbers because we both like two words.
Tim Tebow.
We both love Tebow. And what was he, 8 for 55 yesterday for 64 yards?
He was 9 for 20-something.
6. For how much?
For
not much.
1-something.
Hey, we love two words, though. Tim Tebow.
They lost. So
hey, listen.
he was 9 for 26.
It doesn't matter if
yards.
He was 31 for 38 for 400
he
yards.
Game.
They lost.
He didn't have a good game, and they lost.
Hey,
so,
let me ask you a question. Why do you call him Eeyore?
Because he's a Debbie Downer. And what I was going to get at, this is the story that
What'd
I was getting
ask?
At.
Did they ask
him? The media, he gets a lot of heat in the media. And they said, so Flacco, you know, like, what do you think about this upcoming playoff game? You know, trying to get a quote out of him because it's borderline impossible to get a quote out of this guy. He just sits there with his head down. And he looks up at the media. I'm probably over-exaggerating here because I wasn't there. But he looks up, probably does a big sigh, and says, if we win, I probably won't have anything to do with it anyways.
That's Eeyore. I don't think I'll be much help today.
It was meant to be a joke. Like, the media, you guys aren't going to give me any credit.
Did they laugh?
I'm laughing at Joe Flacco, not at his quote, because that's ridiculous. I mean, this is the quarterback. This is supposed to be the leader of this team. You know, you don't say, oh, well, I'm probably not going to have anything to do with the win.
Hey, for everybody that knows, Joe Flacco was third round pick out of University of Delaware. And he's like 6'7", 140, right? Or he's pretty thin. He's like 220 pounds.
I'll look up Joe Flacco for you.
He has been in the playoffs.
He is, and he has a good record in the playoffs.
I think every year that he has been a quarterback for the Ravens.
Yeah, but I'm sick of
people. Am I mistaken here?
That's the only thing
I'm just asking a question.
Right.
Am I right? All
right,
so let's see. When's the last time we had a Redskin quarterback in the playoffs? I would be 2005?
It was 3? No, it was 2005. It was not Brunell. It was
It was Brunell.
No,
it was in Tampa.
No, the last quarterback they had in the playoffs was Todd
Collins.
Todd Collins, yes.
Jesus, you're 25 and you can't remember his last name.
He was terrible.
I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy Edwards. My 25 year old's got memory issues.
He was
already.
The Redskins' backup quarterback. Jason Campbell went down.
Yeah, and he went to a Super Bowl.
And it was no, he didn't.
Oh,
it
that's right. I'm thinking of Rich Gannon, who we said wasn't good enough to play.
Five in a row.
We sent Rich Gannon packing, and 2 years later, he was in the Super Bowl.
Well, Vinny Serrato signed him for $1 million bajillion for like two games, and yeah.
Vinny Serrato, your favorite guy.
Yeah, now he's
well. We get to hear Vinny at 12 o'clock when we get in the car, right?
God, I can't wait.
I'm Vinny Serrato, and I'm not really sure why they gave me a job.
What I'm sick about, what something that you brought up in Joe Flacco
website and Facebook. Did I bring that up? Go to BruceHallSports.com and hit our Facebook button. Please talk to me. Our Facebook group is growing, and you can go to SportsManCave.com, too. We're kind of tied to each other in weird ways.
We're partners.
Yeah, we're partners. He's my partner. I need a partner 25, because, you know, you'll outlive me, which is a good thing.
But everyone, what I was getting at is everyone brings up Joe Flacco. Oh, well, he brings them to the playoffs every year and they win.
Hey, by the way, New Yorkers, we are going to talk at the turn of the half hour about, we're going to spend almost the whole last half hour of the show on the Packers and the Giants. Just to let you know, we're saving the best for last. The Ravens, I think they're going to win 16-6 again.
And
I really
won't have
do.
Anything to do and, with
well, he
Joe
won't. He'll
Flacco.
He'll be 10-27 for 93 yards, one pick, and no touchdowns. But they'll win 16-6.
I mean, Flacco's numbers last time, he had 305 yards and a pick and a fumble.
You know who? You know who's having a great year in Baltimore? Chuck Pagano, defensive coordinator in his first year. Chuck was the defensive backfield coach for the last few years.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, Chuck's done a phenomenal job. And it looks like they're going to lose an offensive coordinator in
maybe.
Cam Cameron. I think he's going to get a job somewhere.
I wouldn't hire him.
I don't think he likes Baltimore anymore.
I don't think. Yeah, Baltimore doesn't really.
Well,
like,
I mean, when your picture is next to Joe Flacco's in your coach's mind, you know that's hard to deal with.
Joe Flacco,
why don't they draft a quarterback? Oh, that's right. You explained that there's no quarterbacks in this year's draft
that are going to be
Baltimore
reachable.
Is going to be able to get.
No, I mean, maybe they could. They might be able to get a Kellen Moore.
What could you
in
give,
the sixth round?
What could you
fifth
give,
round?
What could you get for Flacco if you're a GM? Third round?
Well. The interesting thing here
third
is
third round. He's young.
Flacco
second round? No.
Flacco's gonna get a new contract soon. Okay.
No.
His contract is up. I want to say after next year, and the kind of contract he's gonna get though is something gonna be similar to a Matt Castle. What Matt Castle got?
Yeah, but is Joe Flacco gonna have the Eeyore vibe when it's contract time?
Well
I don't care. Pay me what
you
like.
If you give
like.
Me a good contract,
hey,
it probably
I fired
won't have
my
anything.
Agent.
It probably won't have anything.
I don't
to do
need
with
an agent. I don't need an agent, Mr. Bouchotti. Just pay me what you want. That's fine.
What Joe Flacco has going for him is the
his
argument.
Height.
Is,
his height.
Yeah, he looks like
he
a quarterback.
He can see over the entire field, which is why he hits so many deep balls.
He's 6'6".
He can actually see the guy 70, yeah. 60 yards down the field breaking away.
He's 6'6", and he's got a big arm.
Hey.
But he makes terrible decisions, but apparently he wins in the playoffs. But you know who also wins in the playoffs? And gets
no!
Mark Sanchez wins
he's,
in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you know, he doesn't lose in the playoffs.
Joe Flacco loses in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, but Joe Flacco's, he's got...
How many Super Bowl rings does Joe Flacco
he's
have?
Got none. He's
the
got
the same amount that Mark Sanchez
he's got
has.
More upside than Sanchez. Wouldn't
Why?
You agree?
No.
His height.
So
he's five
what?
Inches
so
taller.
He can breathe air about 4 inches
hey,
higher than
how
Mark
about,
Sanchez.
How about this? His team. He's got a better team.
That doesn't make
how
Joe Flacco
this?
A great quarterback.
No, but
me.
It makes him available in those games that he's going to be playing. I can't wait to argue with you about this damn NFC game soon.
Mark Sanchez.
Roy's taking the Packers. I can't wait for
Mark,
this.
Mark Sanchez doesn't play on that worse of a football team than Joe Flacco. Who has a better receiving core, Mark Sanchez or Joe Flacco? I'm going to go Mark Sanchez on that with Plax and Holmes, if Holmes can get his act
yeah,
together.
Yeah, but they're all going to be in prison soon.
Well,
that's not true. Only one of them will.
Well, he's out now. He's a changed man.
Yeah, but isn't he on parole?
I mean, he's probably on some sort of probation. But Joe
is he in a halfway house?
I mean, Joe Flacco has Anquan Boldin, who is a possession receiver. Okay, then he has Torrey Smith, who is a stretch the field guy. Okay,
right.
Good. But where's your other receiver? You got your tight end, Ed Dixon? Is that going to be your go-to guy? No, the offense...
I like Ed Dixon. See, you don't even like him, and I think he's one of
he
the
best...
He
drops a lot of balls.
Yeah, but you know what? He's open a lot, too. He's got good speed for a tight end. He's not really a great blocker either, is
no,
he?
No, he's not a good blocker. He drops a lot of balls. Sure, he's open a lot, but that's because he is the... What? Let's see. Ray Rice... Then Anquan Boldin, then Torrey Smith, then whoever else was in the game in the slot, maybe Lee Evans. Lee Evans is probably the next progression on there, even when he's on the sideline. Then Ed
so
Dixon.
So who do you think's going to win the game?
The Ravens.
Okay. I'm picking the Ravens, too.
I got the Ravens.
Hey, you
I
know
just
what?
Don't like Joe
we're
Flacco.
Gonna, when the NFL season is over, we're going to have a sports show on every Sunday, 10 o'clock. Still going to be Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm going to be at spring training. I'm probably going to be... sending back the show and doing the show from out there in a studio, and Roy will probably be here in a studio. I'm not taking that kid to Arizona with me. He'll keep me up all night. He'll keep. I got to go to bed before midnight, or I turn into a pumpkin. And besides that, not only that, I can't get up at 6:30 and play golf. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. I'm Bruce Hall. That's Roy G.
Hi.
You know what? Let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about. Can we do this? Can we talk a little bit about the Giants and the Packers game now?
I guess.
Hootie, let me ask you this. There's a lot of things going on the sidelines here. I have said this all year, and Roy, I got to thank you for coming to my defense, because the guy, Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon, came out with something on, there was a big picture online.
On PTI. Saying, I took PTI. That picture. I sent that to you.
He sent me, Roy sent me something online, because I'm old school. Give me a legal pad and a pen. I got websites. I got computers. I got, you know, everything I need. I have help for that crap. All I want to do is talk about what I'm talking about. But I picked the New York Giants early on to be a team that it reminded me of the team that went to the Super Bowl. Back in October, I said that, when they started winning ball games. And then they went down that row where they lost like four games or six games in a row. They lost four games in a row. And then they came back and they started looking like that team again. The Giants, in my opinion, are playing the best defense they played all year. Now, they've got some injury problems, but I think everybody's probably going to play today. But anyway, earlier this week, you know, Tony Kornheiser made the statement, hey, this Giants team is a lot like, you know.
Is this reminiscent of the Giants Super Bowl?
Hey, you know, did it take you 3 months to figure that out? Look at the damn, you know, look at the team. The team is the same. We rushed the passer. Michael Boley was out, I want to say, almost half the season healthy. He's back now. And in my opinion, Michael Boley makes that defense, because he's that guy in the middle that keeps everything together. He's very athletic. He's a tough kid, and he's making a lot of tackles. Plus, I'm sure he's calling the defense. So, you know, that's helping the Giants out. The other thing that's helping them out is what's been helping them all year long. The Giants can score points, except for against the Redskins the first game of the season and a couple of other games this year. They have been able to go down the field and score.
The Giants have a great...
They couldn't beat the Redskins.
They have a great receiving
core. Go figure that out. That was the only... If they beat the Redskins twice, and they're a better team than the Redskins, no question about it. If they beat the Redskins twice, look what their daggone record is.
There's about 30 other teams in the league who are better teams than the Redskins.
They're 11-5 if they beat the Redskins twice. For some reason, and I know what the reason is, our front seven on defense are very physical, and they're like the Giants. So we gave their, and plus we play them twice a year. You know, we give them a hard time up front. They weren't able to run the football against us. And Eli did not have particularly good games, and it was one of the few games the Redskins all year long didn't choke in the secondary.
Well, it was the Redskins Super Bowl. I mean, let's be honest here. When the Redskins play in...
Why wasn't the Eagles game their Super Bowl when they got the crap kicked out of them?
The Eagles aren't the top of the division. I mean, it was the division leader.
Right.
Giants come to town. The Giants are going to get their best shot.
That was opening day, but not the second game. That was in New York.
Well, the opening day, the Redskins haven't beaten the Giants, besides this year, haven't beaten the Giants opening day. They get embarrassed by them every year.
Right.
I mean, the New York Giants to the Washington Redskins are sort of how the Miami Heat are to any other team in the NBA.
So what would you say? I mean, would you say this about the Redskins?
They're losers.
Yeah, they're losers. They are.
They are losers.
I mean, but
how is Shanahan? Is Shanahan ever going to be able to fix that? No. Let's not talk about them. The Giants right now.
What's coming down to here? What everyone's saying about this game is that Eli Manning has to outperform Aaron Rodgers. Now, I don't think that's the case.
I don't either.
I don't feel like Eli Manning has to throw for 500 yards and six touchdowns and one up Aaron Rodgers.
I've seen shades of the old Giants in the last several games. They are banging the ball up front. Now, let me just say this. Eli is good enough, and he is an elite quarterback, by the way. He's good enough to be able to throw the ball and stretch the field and set the run up. And I think that's what's going to happen. I really do. I think that what what they're going to, they're not going to come out and run first. That's not going to happen. The Texans, listen to me. The Packers don't have a particularly good defense, but if they know you're going to run at them, they will throw eight in the box and play man coverage. Now, if they do that, that's going to open up some passing lanes for Eli. I just think that no matter, you know, we were saying the weather is important. It's cold up there.
It's very cold.
And it's gusting up to 20 miles an hour. You know what? We talked about this game at length, you know, in our production meeting before we went on the air. And you and I both agree there may not be a ton of points scored in this game. 53.5 points is a lot of points in Lambeau Field with windy conditions.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. The defense, Dom Capers has got to have his guys step it up. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
And the same thing is going to happen on the other side of the ball. Those two defenses are going to create havoc, in my opinion, for the passing and the running game for both teams. I don't see Aaron Rodgers. I think Eli and Aaron Rodgers are both going to have to do what Smith did yesterday. They're going to have to run.
Yeah.
They're going to have to run the football themselves when everybody's covered from time to time. Because if they don't,
Aaron Rodgers is that double threat with his feet. Now, I'm going to throw some numbers at you here.
Eli Manning can move a little bit, too.
I'm going to throw some numbers out of here. I'm going to give you both quarterbacks, but I'm going to hide them as player A and player B.
This is important.
You tell me who you think is Eli and who's Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, go.
Player A had a 61 completion percentage, threw for 4,933 yards. Player B, 68 completion percentage, threw for 4,643 yards. Who's player A? Who's player B?
Well, first of all, was the second one just short of 5,000 yards?
No, the first one was just short of 5,000.
That was Aaron Rodgers.
No.
No, that was Eli.
Eli threw for 4,933 yards. Aaron Rodgers threw for 4,643 yards.
But he had the better quarterback rating.
He had the better quarterback. Oh, they had the better completion percentage, yeah.
Hey.
If I had put touchdowns in there, it would have been easy.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to be back. I'm Bruce Saul. This is 1230 AM WFAS. Hey, this is Bruce Saul. This is Bruce Saul's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We're getting ready for week two of the NFL playoffs. The winners today will be in the semifinals of the Super Bowl tournament. And that's what I call it. It's a tournament. I'm a wrestling coach still, for crying out loud. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about what we've got going on. Go to BruceHallSports.com. My blog's on there. You can follow, see some of the comments I've made. You can always listen, if you're streaming, to my website, BruceHallSports.com. Generally speaking, WFAS, they stream too. You know, we're heard in the New York area. That's my computer. Sorry about that. I never have my computer with me, and now I'm going to keep it. But we're going to have a show. This show's a 52-week show now. We've just got picked up for the entire year, and we're looking forward to baseball season. We're looking forward to basketball season. We're looking forward to March Madness, which is one of my favorite times. I go to the Masters Golf Tournament every year. We're going to be doing PGA Golf here. I'm there for 8 days every year. I've been there every year since 1986. If you go to my Facebook page, make a comment. Guys, introduce yourselves. Tell me what you do. We need to find out who's listening to us. And obviously some people are listening to us. Getting back a little bit now to Green Bay and New York. You know, Roy, I've been on the G-Men the whole pretty much second half of this season. I just like what I see. You know, are they gonna win this game? Is the layoff going to hurt Aaron Rodgers? Is the layoff going to hurt? You know, generally speaking, a layoff doesn't hurt anybody.
And it's definitely helping the Green Bay Packers get a little healthy.
Yes.
But you have to think that this is not Aaron Rodgers with a 1 week bye. This is Aaron Rodgers
since Christmas.
He didn't play the last game of the season.
No, he hadn't played since Christmas.
So this is a bit much for a quarterback. Everyone talks about, you don't rest your starters.
Right.
Is it going to hurt you when you're going up against a pass rush like the New York Giants? Excuse me, I almost said he was going against his own team.
Well, you know what I like. You know what I like about the Giants. What I like about the Giants is that pass rush. They got 5-6 guys that can just put pressure on the quarterback 24/7. And I'm going to tell you something. When Kansas City beat the Green Bay Packers in their only loss this year, the pass rush that Romeo Crennel put together and the pressure they put on Aaron Rodgers, I didn't see most of the rest of the year, except in the Giant game. The Giants pretty much played the Packers even. They gave up two pass plays in what, 18 seconds? It took them down to field goal range, and they kick a field goal, and they beat the Giants. I think the Giants play a very similar game today. I don't see Green Bay out-dueling them, even though Green Bay does get Jennings back as a wide receiver.
It's looking like he's going to play.
Well, you know what?
Which is huge.
Yeah, it is huge for them, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You know, he's going to get hit, and it's cold up there. And I think, in my opinion, whoever does the better job of containing the running game is going to win. And also staying out of the big plays. Hey, Jordy Nelson is a big play guy. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Jordy Nelson has had a monster year for Green Bay. Hey, there's a guy named Cruz out of Paterson, New Jersey, for the Giants. Had a pretty good year, right? I mean, you know, almost 1,600 yards receiving. It's unbelievable. Almost 1,600 yards receiving, Victor Cruz has been. You know, Mario Manningham is their number three receiver. They've got Ballard back. They got, you know, Manningham.
The Giants have just as many weapons, if not more,
right,
than the Green Bay Packers, because the Giants have two running backs, whereas the Green Bay Packers, they have people who line up at running back, but I'm not ready to say that Ryan Grant and Starks are what Bradshaw and Jacobs are.
Do you remember the reason, and I know you do, but do you remember the reason why I love the Giants? They're Road Warriors.
Yeah.
Look, you find your best teams by looking at their road record. I don't care what sport you're in. Baseball, football, basketball. If they go on the road and lay an egg, they're not going to be.
Then you're the Washington Wizards.
Well, no. The Washington Wizards don't win games on the road. Forget about their record. Their record's easy. It starts with a zero.
They were 0-26 last season.
Aren't they 1-11 right now?
They're
terrible. But let's not talk basketball. This is a football day.
Next week we can talk basketball.
Absolutely. But let me just say this. Green Bay, Green Bay, to me, looked like they had real problems in Kansas City.
Yeah, and it looked like they had real problems in Detroit last game of the season. Now, I know that was not with Aaron Rodgers. It was a little bit of a different feel. They were resting some starters. But they got in a firefight with Detroit. I mean, Detroit, they have weapons, but do the Giants.
No defense.
And they have no defense. Now, Giants team has weapons,
right,
and this Green Bay team has the worst defense in the league statistically. And are they going to stop the New York Giants?
You know,
because the New York Giants are going to stop the Green Bay Packers occasionally.
I think the Giants defense is very similar to Green Bay. They have an area where they dominate. They dominate with the pass rush.
Yeah. Green Bay passes the ball.
Yeah. No, but Green Bay, in my opinion, dominates with speed, athleticism, and a secondary that make plays.
Yeah.
And if Eli, which I'm sure, you know what I even like most about this game, if you're a Giant fan? You know damn well Peyton Manning has been on the phone with Eli every night going over every single little thing that he has to worry about. I'm telling you right now, he is his coach. You know, Kevin Gilbride, forget about it. Eli Manning is going to make sure Eli's ready for this game. This game is going to come down to the last 10 minutes of the game. Whoever controls the ball, controls the turnovers, and can get first downs on third down is going to win this football game. Now, that might be normally Green Bay. Now, if we were playing on a 50-degree day in Green Bay, or a 45, 30-degree game in Green Bay with it snowing, and the wind slightly blowing, I would say Green Bay would have they'd have a little bit of an advantage. But there's no advantage when the wind is blowing up to 20 miles an hour outside. Where is the worst wind in the NFL? Is it in Green Bay? No. Chicago. It's in the Meadowlands. It's in the Meadowlands.
Okay.
Nobody in the Meadowlands can figure out the way the wind's blowing ever. Now, they play in a new stadium now, and I understand the wind is different, but it's still tricky. Eli has got a great arm.
He does.
Rodgers has a great arm. Who is more durable? I'm going to say Eli, because I don't recall Eli Manning ever leaving a play in a game. I don't ever recall him getting hurt. I recall Aaron Rodgers having three different concussions. If he goes down hard in this game and looks a little funny getting up, that could be the break that the New York Giants need. And I see the New York Giants being able to do that. I don't see Green Bay being able to do that to Eli, do you?
Eli does.
Why do you like the Packers? Tell me.
I like the Packers.
Because you do like the Packers.
I do like the Packers because, I had the Giants.
Isn't this great?
I had the Giants up until about last night, say 10 o'clock.
When Denver
Broncos got spanked.
Yeah.
And now I was all over the Denver Broncos. I was like, great defense. You know, they're going to manage the clock. They're going to beat up. It's a playoff game. It's going to be a fight. Blah, blah, blah. And then a guy named Tom Brady showed up and reminded everyone that he's the best.
God, what a game he had. But I got to tell you something. That Denver defense never showed.
And, no, they didn't.
They didn't even look like they wanted to be out
there.
No,
they didn't look like they wanted to be there. But
they were beat after the first drive.
Part of that you have to attribute to terrific Tom. Tom Terrific.
Well, the offense.
And at that point, I'm thinking to myself, tomorrow, I think the Giants have a great defense. They have a great pass rush. They have all these weapons. You know, they can put up a fight with the Green Bay Packers. They got to slow down Aaron Rodgers. They can do that. It's going to be in Lambeau. It's going to be cold. And then I was like, wait, this is Aaron Rodgers we're talking about here.
Yeah, it isn't just some quarterback. It's not Joe Flacco.
No, it's not Joe Flacco.
Hey, and we're on Flacco today. Go figure that one.
So it's like, am I willing to go against the best in the league right now? Because Aaron Rodgers threw for 45 touchdowns this year. Okay, he didn't play the last game of the season where his backup threw for 6. That would put him at 51, right around the NFL record, if I'm not mistaken, held by Tom Terrific. So
that's right.
He's having arguably one of the best NFL seasons
because
ever.
He's got the best coordinator in the NFL. He's got the best coordinator in the NFL. His name is Peyton Manning. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's second opinion. Hey,
what?
Go to my website, brucehallsports.com. Click on Facebook, figure it out. Send me messages. We want to find out what's going on here. I gotta tell you something. It could be very similar to yesterday's games. There was a great game yesterday.
Yeah, explain that Peyton Manning as the offensive coordinator.
Peyton Manning
is not the offensive coordinator
for
the Packers.
In my opinion, he's not the Packers. He's the best for the Giants.
Oh, you're talking Eli. I'm talking Aaron Rodgers.
I don't care about Eli. I don't care about your quarterback. Hey, your quarterback's going to get carried off the field in the second quarter today.
Okay. So that comment was a rebuttal against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, the reason that I'm saying this is that I think, personally, that Eli is better prepared right now for, you know, because it's not like they didn't see any offense with Green Bay when they played them earlier. They scored 38 points. You know, New York scored 35 points. Everybody in the country is on the over. I like the under in this game. I think the defenses are going to make a difference in blustery weather, and I think the hardest hitting, most physical team is going to win this game. I don't think there's going to be a lot of long passing in this game. I think there's going to be a lot of skinny posts, screen passes. I just think it's going to be more physical than everybody thinks. And I think the team that runs the football better in this game is able to get first downs with their feet and not their arms are going to be the winning team. And I think that that Peyton Manning has spent some time with his little brother, Eli. I really do. Because I've seen it all year. He looks like he's reading much easier than he ever has. He still gets that funny look on his face.
Where he's confused.
And all you Giant fans know that look. That look looks like a 12-year-old. Because he looks like he's sick to his stomach and he's upset. But you know what? You can listen. David Cutcliffe coached Eli at Ole Miss. David Cutcliffe thinks he's a phenomenal quarterback. He's a phenomenal athlete. Ronnie Middleton coached him at Ole Miss. They both think he's every bit as good as Peyton. He just never had the confidence because he's always been Peyton's little brother.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to Peyton this year? He can't play. So now there's one Manning playing, and he doesn't have to look over his shoulder. He doesn't have to hear about how great Peyton is. He doesn't have to hear about any of this stuff. He's got Peyton in his corner. Not that he's never been there. And I think the Giants and Eli are going to beat the Packers today.
Now, based on your reasoning,
yes,
it makes complete sense because you say it's going to be a defensive team or a defensive game.
Right.
Who's the better defense, Green Bay or New York?
New York.
Okay, and then you say,
if they're healthy in the secondary, is Ross going to play?
No, I agree. Ross is looking like he's playing.
He had a concussion.
He shows up on the injury.
They ran into each other. What a freak accident.
He does show up on the injury report, but it's probable. But I think he's going to play.
I'm sure everybody's going to play today. Shoot, I mean, you got to play. Hell, the doctors lose their job if they say they can't play today.
Then you look at the other factor that you have in there, running the football in this weather, right? Last time these two teams played, Jacobs had 59 yards on 8 carries. Bradshaw had 38 yards on 11 carries. Both of those, the 38 yards for Bradshaw, is more than the leading rusher of the Green Bay Packers, who was Aaron Rodgers, 4 carries for 32 yards.
Hey, third down, converting third downs means everything. What you need are third and short. There's no doubt the Packers are going to run the ball, because I'm pretty sure Starks is back, isn't he?
Well, Starks...
Is he questionable?
He is a little banged up.
Yeah. Well, they've got Ryan Grant.
He shows up as probable.
He's going to play then.
With an ankle.
But you know what? He has been nothing like he was last year.
No.
Yeah, nothing.
But, I mean...
All year.
The last time these two teams played, Starks was banged up. He only got 3 carries for 5 yards. Grant had 13 carries for 29 yards. Both basically insignificant numbers.
Yeah, I mean, just running the ball just to keep the defense from rushing so hard.
They had 4 people running the ball for the 5, if you count Aaron Rodgers, but they had 4 different people line up in the backfield carrying the ball.
Kuhn
was back there. And now,
the Packers' offensive line is pretty much, you know, together finally, because they got a really good guard back. He played in the last game, played the first quarter. Didn't play after that, but those are the kind of guys that go down in the first or second quarter when they're trying to come back too early. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about an all-pro guard, and I can't think of his name, and that's just me. But I'm telling you, Green Bay is going to probably come out throwing the football. They got to get used to it. They're not going to score running the football. I don't agree with that. Do you? I just think Green Bay's got to get their passing offense going.
Yeah, they're not. I mean,
you got to get those guys warmed up, and everybody's got to touch the ball.
If
too.
Green Bay is relying on their running game to win this game, they're in trouble. They have to rely on their running game to control the clock, but to win, it's going to be on Aaron Rodgers' arm.
You know who I think is the difference in this game if Green Bay wins? JerMichael Finley. I think JerMichael Finley has looked more like JerMichael Finley. You know, he started out this year hurt. He was out for what, 5 games, 6 games? He came back. JerMichael Finley has had some numbers the last 2 or 3 games out. JerMichael Finley is somebody the Giants have to deal with because he's a load. You get him the football, he's hard to bring down. Now, we talked a little bit about the tight end from New Orleans, Jimmy Graham, who got a concussion. I'm sure he's concussed. I mean, you don't wobble off the field unless unless you've had some gray matter splatter against your cranium. But amazingly, he came back, you know, like an old school kid and played the rest of the game and made a couple of great blocks on those runs. Remember that pass play late in the game? Listen, I'm picking the Giants to not only cover the 7.5 points against the Green Bay Packers, I'm picking them to win the game. Roy,
I got the Packers.
This is for dinner at the Palm.
This is for
dinner at the Palm. It's the only thing we just handicap. I'm Bruce Hall.
Roy G.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. 12:30 a.m. WFAS. We'll see you next week.